First, I want to say Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there, the spiritual mothers, the grandmothers, and the mothers-to-be. And when I watched that video, it made me think of this scripture. It's Matthew 25, 35 through 40. It says, "For I was hungry and gave you something, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" And the king will reply, "I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." So Jesus was speaking here about the eventual coming judgment. But I think this is an apt scripture for us to kind of look at this morning as we're talking about mothers. Everything I see right there, every one of the mothers that I've had in my life have done those things for me. And I think it's good encouragement to know that these things don't go unnoticed. Jesus was talking about the sheep and the goats here in this scripture. The sheep are God's people who give proof of this by the practical love they show to others. And a lot of times they show this love at their own expense. Because they're unselfish, they may not be aware of all the good they do or the appreciation that others have of their kindness. This is something I find to be true of mothers too. There's some things that our mothers taught us. I found a list here that captures it pretty well. My mother, she taught me irony. When she said, "Keep crying, I'll give you something to cry about, boy." She taught me about the circle of life. This is one that I heard from my mom pretty regularly. "I brought you into this world and I will bring you out." Another one that I remember hearing quite a bit as a child from my mom. She taught me about envy. She said, "There are millions of less fortunate children in Africa who don't have wonderful parents like you do in this food to eat. Don't you be throwing that food in the trash." Yeah, Mom, leaving it sitting on the table is not going to feed them. This one I saw, it made me think of Amber. This is Amber teaching River about genetics. "You act just like your dad." My mom taught me about wisdom. She told me, "One day when you get my age, Jess, you'll start to understand." My mom also taught me about justice. She said, "One day you'll have kids, and I hope they turn out just like you." Now, on Mother's Day, I'm bringing up and talking about some things that we can laugh about. And we really can't say enough good things about the mothers in our lives. But really, where would we be without our moms? I say that both literally and figuratively. So the title of my message this morning is Mother's Day from the Father's Perspective. Now, we laughed about some of the things we heard our mom say, and I think there's one thing that we all should understand, and most of us probably do, and that's that mothers only want the best for their families, and a lot of times they'll do whatever it takes to make sure that we get it. Now, having said that about our earthly mothers, we also need to know that we have a Father who wants the best for us also, our Heavenly Father. Today, I hope for you to see the characteristics that we see in our mothers are also present in God, who saved us. I know some of the best examples I've ever seen of forgiveness and grace were shown to me from my mom. Let's look to see how God works in our lives to show this same forgiveness and grace. I'm going to start reading here in Ephesians, it's chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. It says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world, of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who's rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It's by grace that you've been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms of Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Jesus Christ. For it's by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Y'all pray with me this morning, please. Dear Lord, I pray that you open our spiritual eyes, Lord, and open our spiritual ears this morning to the word that you have for us. I just thank you and praise you for the gift that you've given us through Jesus Christ, Lord. I thank you and praise you for the gifts that you've given me personally and this church body, Lord, through the mothers. We praise you for that, Father. I pray that you strengthen them and give them the resolve to continue to do your work here, Lord, to continue to build your kingdom in this church body, in their families, and in this community, Lord. I just pray that on this day we set aside to honor them, that you can help us to understand the impact that we have, Lord, on those around us. We praise you and thank you for all you do for us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. The first point that I would want to make this morning that I gather from the scripture is that God sees what you really are. You see in verse 1 there, he says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins." And I'm thankful that he pointed this out, and it's in the past tense. He says, "You were dead." Now, as Christians, we've been born again. And in the same way that a mom knows everything about her new child, God knows everything about you. Y'all ever do anything to try and fool your mom? No? Got one. I know I got one in here that's telling a story trying to fool mom right now. I got two. Three? Yes, I think that we've all tried to fool our mom. Somehow our moms just always know the truth, right? Kaylee, what does your mom's name pop up on when she calls you on your phone? FBI number one. Kaylee calls mom. Moms just always know the truth. And just like our moms, God always knows the truth too. And even more so than our moms. He knows everything about you. He knows that you were bound by your sin and your sinful nature. He knows that we were dead in our transgressions. And that was the whole purpose for Jesus coming to earth. Isaiah 53:5 says, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we're healed." Continuing on with our scripture that we read, in verse 2 there, I think he says, you followed the ways of this world. How many of you guys in here are leaders? I've always considered myself personally to be somewhat of a leader, even as a teenager. And I think back to that time before I had a sure knowledge of Christ and was walking, and was actually walking it. And I realized that I wasn't a good leader. I was leading people in the wrong direction. I was leading people, to put it bluntly, on a trail to hell. I followed the ways of the world, and it wasn't me leading me to a good place either. That willingness to follow the ways of the world was a direct result of being dead in my transgressions and sins. You see, that's what sinners do, they sin. And then it says, we were living under the direction of Satan and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who's now at work in those who are disobedient. Did your mom ever try and warn you guys about the crowd you were running with? You were running with the wrong crowd? I know that my mom sitting back here definitely did at times. Somehow they just always know who the trouble is. God knows this morning that if you're trying to live your life under your own power and your own authority and your own wisdom and understanding, if you're trying to do what's right in your own eyes, you will fail miserably. Ephesians 6:12 tells us, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." So, Now, if we're trying to please God by what we do in our natural self, we aren't pleasing him because we're trying to fight a spiritual battle in a natural realm. If we're doing this, we're working for the devil. Even after we've left our life of sin behind, if you try and overcome the works of the enemy by fighting against him in our own power, we're walking according to that nature, and we'll lose that battle. We're either totally for God or against him. There is no middle ground. Throughout the history of Israel, we see the stories of kings who knew who God was while still worshiping other gods. They would even call upon the name of the Lord or seek his guidance through the prophets. But they're trying to have it both ways. The Bible says that those kings did evil in the eyes of the Lord. God knows what we deserve. In verse 3 of our scripture, it says, all of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were nature objects of wrath. By nature, objects of wrath. Romans 8, verses 5 through 8 says, those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It doesn't submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. Okay, moms, be honest with me. How many of you in here have said before to your children, this is going to hurt you more than it hurts me? In these instances, you knew that your child or children had done something that deserved punishment, and you knew that that punishment should be, or knew what that punishment should be, or at least you knew how severe it should be. Habakkuk 1:13 tells us that your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrong. That same line of thought, that this is going to hurt me more than it'll hurt you. I think that that's the perspective that God sees us when we're dead in our sins. Even so, he desires the best for us. In verse 4, we see that he says, but because of his great love for us, God, who's rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. For it's by grace you've been saved. You know that same word that they use there in the original manuscripts is translated as mercy. And here it's also translated as compassion in other places in the Bible. God is merciful to us because of his compassion. Lamentations 3:21-23 says, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we're not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. One of the great salvation passages in the Bible is in the book of Romans chapter 5, it's verse 8. It says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. How could a holy God die for a sinful man? I'll tell you how. Because just like our God, just like our moms, God sees who we can be. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Man, I love that verse. It not only tells us what God has done, but it also tells us where he placed us. We're raised to a new spiritual life in Christ. And because of Christ, right now, God has placed us in positions of authority with him. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 6 that a time would come when we would judge angels. That's talking about the future. But what God has done in placing us in positions of authority, he has done right now. It's ours. See, God doesn't look at us with the physical eyes and judge our outward appearance. He isn't like other men. He judges our hearts, the spirit of a man. If we're his children, the Bible says we're adopted into his family then. Romans chapter 8 says in verse 16, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we're God's children. Now, if we're children, then we're heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. God doesn't do that because of who we are. He does that because of who he is. And since we're his children, he intends to hold us to the highest standard. The standard he holds us to, though, is one that he helps us to attain. In the Old Testament, there are several stories of boys who ended up becoming kings. In 2 Kings, there was Joash, and that was in chapter 11. He was 7 when he became a king. Then a little bit later, there was Azariah and then Josiah. Those boys were directly under the tutelage of godly men and godly mothers. God loves us that way, and he holds us to a higher calling in the same way. And he uses our mothers quite often to speak directly to us. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 9 through 12, tells us how God watches over us in the same way that animals watch over their young. For the Lord's portion is his people, Jacob, his allotted inheritance. In a desert land he found him, in a barren and howling waste. He shielded him and cared for him. He guarded him as the apple of his eye. Like an eagle that stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, that spreads its wing to catch them and carries them on its pinions. The Lord alone led him. No foreign God was with him. Now in Ephesians chapter 2, it tells us why God responded to us in that way. In order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Here, incomparable riches literally means excessive wealth. That is what God has in store for us in the future. But it's more than just for the future. It covers the whole of history, from the time of his ascension all the way to the time when he's going to return. Verse 8, for it's by grace you've been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Here Paul's saying that this is something that's for now. We've been saved. We've been delivered, healed, preserved, made whole. And all of this is for one purpose. Point number 3 I have this morning is that God sees you as if it's already done. In Ephesians 2, our scripture that we read, verse 10 says, for we're God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now, most of you all in here, y'all know my story. You know how I struggled with addiction, ran from God, you know, tried to shake that and beat it on my own and run from God some more, only to fall back down on my face again in that struggle. One thing, though, is throughout my life, I've been blessed with moms, that's plural, multiple moms, that have had a huge impact on my life. I guess the first would have been my mom, Sandy. Early on in my life, she was probably the primary motherly influence. Between her and my mom, I met my grandma, Jerry. They had a big impact on my life. And I know that my Nana was probably the first one I can remember ever, you know, bringing me to church and making sure that I was getting in God's Word, whether I even knew what was going in or not. And I appreciate that. A little later, my mom, Shemitri, she opened her doors and her heart to me. And then later, once I became an adult, she opened her doors to me again, a drug-addicted criminal. And God used this in a big way. That act of love is what started me down the path to true salvation. He brought me to one of my spiritual moms, Donna. She's always been there to help encourage me and keep me grounded in God's Word and has mentored and loved my wife, sometimes at times when I wasn't so lovable. Then Terry came into my life. What a blessing she's been. She's played a huge part in raising both of my kids and teaching them what the love of Christ looks like and how to live it out. Then Amber, another mom in my life, the mother of my children. What a radical impact she's had on my life. My best friend, my soulmate, my co-captain on this crazy ship that we call life. My lover and a provider for my children. The one who gently nudges me back on course when I take it off in the ditch. Figuratively and literally. Although when it's literal, she's not so gentle about it. And if there's one thing that I take away from these moms in my life, and I want to make sure that I'm passing on to my kids, it's that it really doesn't matter the physical things that you have. It doesn't matter what your walk in life is. What does matter, though, is what you do with what you have. I never realized it, but I think these words of wisdom to me have gone beyond being just good advice that I've received. It's become a part of me. Here's the good news, though. Since I began to really try to walk that of a Christian about 12 or so years ago, I made a determination that I was going to be a good steward and I was going to honor God with all the blessings that he's given me. The longer I've been trying to do this, the more and more I realize this one thing, and that is that it's not me at work, but it's the grace of God working through me that allows these works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Amen. Galatians 2:20 says, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. As we celebrate Mother's Day today, 2021, how can we relate a mother's love with the love that God has for us? Isaiah 66:13 says, "As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you." A mother's love is so reminiscent of the love of God that God has for us. I think about a mom and how they'll give everything for their children in a lot of chances. Think about God. He so loved the world that he gave his only son for us. Think about the unconditional love. When I think about the unconditional love that a mother has for her children, no matter what, I think of Romans 5:10, where it says, "For if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." And that is the sacrifice that was made through Christ. When I think about how protective moms can be over their children, some of them like mama alligators, it brings me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3. It says, "But the Lord is faithful, and he'll strengthen and protect you from the evil one." You see, God protects us from the evil one in the same way. When I think about how moms want the best for their children, I think about Isaiah 48:17. It says, "This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God, who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way you should go." Now, this Old Testament here, in that translation, I drew a blank there. In the translation from the Old Testament, the original Hebrew language, the word compassion comes from the word that means womb. The idea is one of birthing. Something new is being born. Whether it's life that's coming from a mom, a new mom in a new birth, or whether it's life offered by our Heavenly Father, something new has been created. And just as the love of a mother bears that child through their whole life, so does the love of our Heavenly Father bear us through eternity by the love he offered on Calvary through his Son, Jesus Christ. God sees who we really are. God sees who we can be and offers the guidance of his Holy Spirit to lead and empower us for this life. God sees us as if it's already done and ordains us to good works by his grace. Not by our own works, but by his grace that's working through us. If you would, join me in prayer.